Amen. Let the church say amen. This is Pastor Walton. God bless you, Calvary and friends. What a joy it is. As you can hear the smile on my face, what a joy it is to be able to communicate with you God's word. Amen. All the time, but particularly in a time like this. Amen. We praise God for his word, because his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Amen. His word is our mirror as well as our compass. And we thank God for the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I want to just share with you, just for your own safety, please let us remember the governor's order of social distancing. Try to keep our hands washed and clean. Make sure that we just observe just common sense things. Being aware of the fact that this virus is a very, very dangerous virus. I was on a call just this morning where a noted medical scientist in the state of Wisconsin, actually affiliated with the Medical College of Wisconsin, said on a call of several people that this virus is at least 10 times as dangerous as the flu, and maybe up to 50 times as dangerous. And even at this current time, we are aware that this virus is particularly, even though this same doctor that I'm quoting said that this virus will be everywhere shortly, we know of the particular impact that this virus has had on the north side of Milwaukee, and specifically within the African-American community. And so we want to be in prayer for those families that have lost loved ones, and we want to be vigilant in prayer and in prevention. Amen? If you agree, say amen. We're in the season of Lent as we continue to journey with Jesus toward the cross. We know that the life that we live is only possible because of Calvary, because of the fact that Jesus died on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we praise God for the gospel. We praise God for the word. We praise God for this Lenten season. We're going to be closing out our series today on the book of Zephaniah. It's been a very good series, and I'm going to ask that you would turn, perhaps you have your digital Bible on your phone or what have you, or your actual Bible, if you would just turn to one verse in Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 12. Amen. I feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Verse 12 of chapter 1, and we know that this book is a kind of a doom book, because it talks about the end. It's an apocalyptic book, but all in all, just like I believe this virus is, this reading this word is a warning, but it's also a time of rejoicing. Just like this virus is a warning that our God is God, and God can do whatever he wants to do. And so there may be, you know, there's Zephaniah has some scary parts in it and everything like that. But we have to remember that the only reason why God warns us is because God loves us so much. Amen. And so Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 12, and if you want to get some background on some messages, I have some things posted on our website where you can go and review some messages that I've already preached, and the Unpacking the Word under the media section that you can also check out, so that you can be brought up to speed with what I've been preaching during this series. Well, the word from chapter 1 of Zephaniah, I'm reading out of the New King James Version. And it reads as follows, "And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency. Please say complacency. Who say in their heart, listen to this, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil. What a dangerous thing to say about God. Amen. Want to preach as God shall guide from the subject, A Time to Be Faithful. A Time to Be Faithful. My sisters and brothers, I don't know about you, but I just believe if there were ever a time that we needed to be faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to be standing strong in our faith, being steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because we know our labor is not in vain in the Lord. It is right now. So today's sermon title is A Time to Be Faithful. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A few days ago, I received a text, which was a screenshot of a Facebook post that someone had written regarding the impact of the coronavirus. But I believe it actually speaks more to the actual church. And I was so struck by it, and that's why I'm sharing it with you. Here is what it said. In 3 short months, just like he did with the plagues of Egypt, God has taken away everything we worship. God said, you want to worship athletes? I will shut down the stadiums. You want to worship musicians? I will shut down the civic centers. You want to worship actors? I will shut down theaters. You want to worship money? I will shut down the economy and collapse the stock market. You don't want to go to church and worship me? I will make it where you can't go to church. And then the writer of the post included the scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, we all know this, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Then this person continues their writing by saying, maybe we don't need a vaccine. Maybe we need to take this time of isolation from the distractions of the world and have a personal revival where we focus on the only thing in the world that matters, Jesus. It's time for the nation to turn their hearts back to Jesus and pray. And that ends the screenshot Facebook post that actually one of my family members sent to me the other day. Well, I'm not sure how you feel about that post. I agree with a lot of it. I do want to let you know that I am praying for a vaccine. I certainly am praying for a vaccine, which experts say will take a while. And I'm certainly praying for relief, and I'm praying for healing, and I'm praying for comfort of those who have lost loved ones, etc. And I'm even praying to someday soon return to a more normal and predictable way of life. People can go back to work, and kids can go back to school, and all of that. You know, I want that. But I do believe that God allowed, that God permitted this time for a number of reasons. And we certainly don't have time to talk about all of the reasons. But I think that one of the things that we can learn from this time, one of the reasons, one of the places that we can put ourselves at this time is we can understand that this perhaps, and I believe it is, a God-ordained time of rest, re-examination of how we're living, repenting of sin, rejoicing in who God is and meeting him more and more in the silence and in the inactivity. And it's also a time to reinvent ourselves for the future that God has designed for us all individually and together as a church, and then certainly as a society. My sisters and brothers, as I said to you some time ago, the church is on stage at this time. The church is on stage. People who say they don't believe in God, people who don't profess to have any particular belief, they're looking at people who profess faith in God as revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. And so this is a time for us to be faithful, a time to be faithful to the Word of God, a time to be faithful to what the Bible says, a time to be faithful. This is a time for us to walk in faith, not fear. I want to say that again. This is a time for us to walk in faith, not fear. Our God is faithful. Amen. He has been faithful to us. Just take a moment and think to yourself about how God has been faithful to you just in this past week. Mary LaVon Phillips, she's a scholar and writer, and her expository work on Zephaniah, as we look at our text, she writes about the need for us to remain faithful at a time like this. Certainly, Judah was going through time of persecution due to their sin, etc. And we're going through a time of persecution as well. So she says, times of persecution challenge our faith. But then she says, times of prosperity can be equally challenging. She says, the people of Judah, and this is what we've been preaching about this whole series, the people of Judah allow themselves to be lulled into complacency by the relative ease of their times. They began to believe that they could live any way they chose. They allowed their faith to grow cold, believing they no longer needed God's involvement in their lives. Guard your faith, remain vitally connected to the Lord, and live for Him daily with your whole heart. Have you ever had an example of faithfulness in your life? I'm just talking to you individually. I want you to think about in your life, have you had an example, one or two or more people that you could really say, that's a faithful person? They showed me what faithfulness was all about. Well, I've been blessed to have an example of faithfulness. I've had several throughout my life, but the most prominent example of faithfulness in my life is the example of my own father. And we just gathered in my hometown of Cleveland, Ohio, to celebrate his 80th birthday, praise God, at the beginning of March. He has been a faithful man to God, a faithful husband to his wife, a faithful father to his children, and a faithful deacon and churchman in the Church of Jesus Christ. And I'm proud of that, and I'm grateful for that. And Dad, I know you're going to be listening. I love you for that. And while I don't remember all of our conversations, the scenes of life do pass through my mind, I do remember the example. And that example of consistency and faithfulness is, you might say, if you're thinking about cars, it's like the car frame. There can be no car if there's not a good car frame. Well, that faithfulness is the car frame, that consistency. And I'm telling you that if there ever was a time that we needed good examples in the church, in society, in the city of Milwaukee, in the state of Wisconsin, in our country, in our world, it is right now. People are living pretty well in America, but morals have gone down the toilet. In recent times, racist and discriminatory actions and prejudice has just become emboldened. If you know what I'm talking about, just say amen wherever you are. And then sin is no longer called sin in many places. There used to be a time when the church would preach about sin. I'm not saying we ought to focus and talk about sin all the time. I don't think that's healthy, and I don't think that's biblical. But I think that we ought to say that there is something called sin, and it's an attempt to exist apart from God. It's rebellion, it's witchcraft, it's not being of God, etc. It's sin. Sin is no longer called sin in many places because people want to be so politically correct. They would rather get the praise of other men and women and their peers rather than please God. That's why I said it's a time to be faithful, a time to be faithful to the Word of God. And I want to say to you today that no matter what you hear in the world, God still wants His children to live holy and biblically consistent lifestyles. And let me just say, there is a hiddenness in living holy. What do I mean? I'm glad you asked. The name Zephaniah, as we've been preaching and going through this, I haven't shared this, but many of you know this already. The name Zephaniah means the Lord has hidden. I can't explain exactly how God does what He does. But when we decide, it's not on God, it's on us. When we decide to live holy lives before Him, there's just some stuff that doesn't hit us. And if it does hit us, we have peace of mind even in the midst of it. If you agree, just say amen. And then when we were still in the sanctuary, when I was preaching, I cited Psalm 91, and I just want to read a few words from that again. Psalm 91 says that the one who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. In Him I will trust. Not in the world. Not in the media. In Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Amen. Well, I'm almost done now, but I just want to close by saying that not since 1918, and maybe the Second World War, has the United States of America been subject to a prolonged siege of something the nation and even the world, get this, y'all, could not control. Coronavirus is right now unable to be controlled by any human being, any scientist, any organization. It's running rampant throughout the world. Aren't you glad God is in charge? There are increasingly few people, back to what I was saying, living who witnessed World War II, and even fewer yet who witnessed the flu of 1918, because, of course, that was 102 years ago. And I hear people saying every day on these calls that we're on, and I've been saying it a lot, that this is an unprecedented time. Unprecedented. 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 Without precedent. In other words, hasn't happened before. But let us remember that we have, I want y'all to get this, we have an unprecedented God. He is unprecedented in age, because he is the Ancient of Days. He is unprecedented in power, because he has all power. He is unprecedented in his presence, because he is omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. But as I close this message, I know I can't talk about all the ways that God is unprecedented. We'd be here forever. But since we're talking about faithfulness, is there somebody in your house, in your car, wherever it is that you're listening, that would agree that when it comes to faithfulness, can't nobody do you like Jesus? Can't nobody do you like the Lord? Our God is faithful. He's been faithful. As you look back over your life, you ought to just shout and thank God for his faithfulness. I know we're quarantined and not supposed to go outside except for a little walk. But when you think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for us, when you think about where you could have been and where you are today, it may make you forget where you are for a moment, and you may just walk out that front door and forget about the governor's order. Well, somebody may need maybe a little bit more skeptical and say, well, how has he been faithful? And you're upset and you're going through a time and you're really struggling. Well, how has he been faithful? Well, I just want to tell you, my sister and brother, he woke you up this morning. He didn't have to do it, but he did it. Why? Because he's faithful. I don't know about you, but there have been some times that I could have lost my mind. But I thank God that not only did he wake me up this morning, but he clothed me in my right mind. Did he have to do it? No, he didn't have to do it, but he did it. Why? Because he's faithful. He has kept us from seen and unseen dangers. I don't need to go into that with coronavirus. I want to say it again. He has kept us from seen and unseen dangers. He didn't have to do it, but he did it. Why? Because he's faithful. He sent his son Jesus, and I'm done now, to die for our sins. He didn't have to do it, but he did it. Why? Because he's faithful. And after all his faithfulness, what are we to be in response? We're to be faithful, my sisters and brothers. That's who we are to be. The Apostle John in the Revelation of Jesus Christ in chapter 2, verse 10, Revelation 2:10, says it very succinctly: be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. A time, this is the time to be faithful. May God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come right now praying that if there's somebody here today who's never received you as Lord and Savior of their life, that they would just simply say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I believe that you died on the cross to save me from my sin. And right now, I accept you into my life. I accept you into my heart. Then someone else, Lord God, who is a believer, out of church home, when the churches open back up, and we believe that you're going to do that, when the churches open back up, allow them, Lord, to be led by your Holy Spirit to the right biblical preaching, biblical teaching church where you want them to live out this next place of their discipleship. We pray this in the name of Jesus. And everybody who agreed said, amen and thank God. One last thing, Calvary and friends, let us once again be mindful of the social distancing. Be mindful of common sense things and just continue to lean on God, because our God is an awesome God. I love you and God bless you.